From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. As we begin this new year, we invite you to hear Dr. Cairns as he continues a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself, as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from the Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For several days we have been dwelling upon the Savior's passion, and for some little time to come we shall linger there. In beginning a new month, let us seek the same desires after our Lord as those which glowed in the heart of the elect spouse. See how she leaps at once to Him. There are no prefatory words. She does not even mention His name. She is in the heart of her theme at once, for she speaks of Him who was the only Him in the world to her. How bold is her love! It was much condescension which permitted the weeping penitent to anoint his feet with spikenard. It was rich love which allowed the gentle Mary to sit at his feet and learn of him. But here love, strong, fervent love, aspires to higher tokens of regard and closer signs of fellowship. Esther trembled in the presence of Ahasuerus, but the spouse in joyful liberty of perfect love knows no fear. If we have received the same free spirit, we also may ask the like. By kisses we suppose to be intended those varied manifestations of affection by which the believer is made to enjoy the love of Jesus. The kiss of reconciliation we enjoyed at our conversion, and it was sweet as honey dropping from the comb. The kiss of acceptance is still warm on our brow, as we know that He hath accepted our persons and our works through rich grace. The kiss of daily present communion is that which we pant after to be repeated day after day, till it is changed into the kiss of reception, which removes the soul from earth, and the kiss of consummation, which fills it with the joy of heaven. Faith is our walk, but fellowship sensibly felt is our rest. Faith is the road, but communion with Jesus is the well from which the pilgrim drinks. O lover of our souls, be not strange to us. Let the lips of thy blessing meet the lips of our asking. Let the lips of thy fullness touch the lips of our need, and straightway the kiss will be effected.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues the theme, Christ, the Savior and Satisfier of the Soul. The setting is the Feast of Tabernacles, recorded in John chapter 7. It was at this particular feast that the Lord Jesus gave the greatest declaration of his messianic claims. It was an observance of God's deliverance of his people through their wilderness wanderings, a feast marked by great joy, especially in the ritual of the pouring out of water. It was at that point that Christ stood and cried, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We see, first of all, Christ as the fount of saving grace. The Old Testament ceremonies were powerless to save souls. Then, in this gracious statement, Christ showed himself as the object of saving faith. He set no conditions. The invitation is simply, Come to me. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, Christ, the Savior and Satisfier of the Soul.
One of the saddest sights in late Victorian England was to see an old man who was world famous, perhaps the leading biologist of his day, certainly the leading exponent of Darwinianism of his day, the man who put bishops and preachers to flight with his bitter invective against all that they believed. His name was Thomas Huxley. One Sunday morning, Thomas Huxley was speaking to a friend who was a Christian. He said, I suppose you're going to church. He said, I am. He said, why don't you stay here and talk to me about religion? He said, no, I'm not clever enough to debate with you. He said, I don't want you to debate with me. Just stay and tell me what it all means to you. And that man stayed and he poured out his testimony And he told the great man of science his experience and all that God in grace through Christ had done for him. Nearing an agnostic's grave and a rebellious sinner's hell, tears welled up in Thomas Huxley. He said, "I would give my right arm if only I could believe that." What a way to die. What a way to perish. You don't meet the needs of the soul by any scientific, intellectual, literary, or other attainments of the world, or by the recreations and pleasures and wealth or whatever that this world can give. There's only one fount of every blessing. There's only one fount of saving grace. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, the second person of the eternal Trinity, manifested in flesh for our salvation. And he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me. I am the fountain of all grace." If you need to be saved this morning, salvation is not only of the Lord, it's in the Lord. If you are saved and you're here as a Christian with the need of grace, you find grace in Christ. We as Christians often make the mistake of going everywhere but the right place to find the grace we need. There is help in church, there is help in fellowship, there is help in conversation, there is help in reading good books, there is help here, there, and everywhere among God's people, no doubt, if, and it's a big if, ultimately, it is all to lead us to Christ. He is the fountain of saving grace. But the Lord Jesus says something else about himself here, paints a second picture, setting himself forth as the focus or the object of saving faith. Notice his directions. They are clear and unambiguous. If you thirst, come unto me and drink. Now, what is thirst? Sort of a silly question, it sounds. You may not have the ability to put in words what thirst is, but if you've ever experienced it, you know what it is. What is thirst? Thirst is a felt need that you're missing something absolutely necessary. And it is a desire to have that thing. It is therefore a confessed need in this connection of which the Lord Jesus is speaking. It is a felt burden of guilt and of sin. It is a confession, I need to be made right with God. It is the expression that comes from the depth of a heart that is not taking lightly the things of God. To this heart, sin is big and sin is real. And the wrath of a holy God is real. And heaven and hell are real. And there is this urgent desire, oh, that my sin was dealt with. Oh, that my guilt were gone. Oh, that my heart were right with God. Oh, that I could feel the peace that Jesus gives. Oh, that I may know the cleansing that the Bible speaks about. That's thirst. Jesus says, if any man thirst. Isn't it a tragedy? Especially speaking to the people to whom he was speaking. Isn't it a tragedy that he has to even put in the if clause? For there were thousands there who had no thirst. Oh, they were as religious as the day was long. They engaged in all the ritual of that long Feast of Tabernacles, but they had no thirst. Do we not find the very same thing? We find it in our churches. We have people who have just enough religion not only to make them miserable, but just enough religion to make them damned. They're easily satisfied. Their conscience is very... My brother once jokingly said, I have a very good conscience. It does exactly what I tell it. A lot of people sit in church just like that. A very easily satisfied conscience. Sin to them is a little thing, unless it's somebody else's sin, of course. Guilt to them is a little thing. They don't want to get too involved and too worked up over spiritual things. They save their passion for the important things of life. Like money or sport or something else that will die as quickly as the flowers of the field. Satisfied, I'm religious enough. The word that is taking many in fundamental churches straight to hell, oh, I made a commitment. What a commitment in most cases. Or I made a decision. I decided for Christ. I did this, that, or the other thing. But it has left me with no desire for Christ, no thirst for Christ, no yearning for Christ. And I want to tell you, any religion that leaves you without a desire for Christ is more than suspect. If any man thirst, what a need. But do you see the simplicity of it? How do you meet this need? If any man thirst. Jesus says, the answer is simple. Come to me. Come to me. So if you're thirsty, he says, don't seek any other way. Don't place your faith in religion. Don't place your faith in ritual. Don't place your faith in sacraments. Let me go a step further. Don't even place your faith in experience. Now we're getting someplace. I speak to you as what the world calls a Calvinist, Reformed, a Presbyterian. I'm glad to say that some of the most beautiful and glorious pages in Christian literature were written by the Reformed and the Presbyterians. I'm also sad to say that some of the most perverted things have been written by the same group. I can give you literature and show... Well, I wouldn't do it, but I could. Where they pursue what are called cases of conscience. Where the whole emphasis seems to be how intricate can we become. How difficult can we make it for a poor sinner to make it to Christ. Let's look at your experience. And when your experience is good enough and great enough and deep enough and spiritual enough, then maybe you can come to Christ. And I want to tell you, it's the devil's lie. If you thirst, it's not experience you need. It's Christ you need. And the experience can follow. Oh, I believe experience does follow. But it's Christ you need. Only Christ. Christ plus nothing. If you thirst, then let nothing keep you from Christ. And let me tell you, if you thirst, you can be saved. Do you see what he's saying? If you want God's salvation, it's there for you. And don't let anybody talk you out of it. It's for you. If you want God's salvation, he says, if you thirst, you don't need any further warrant. You don't need anything else that tells you you have a right to come to him. It is sin then to say, I'm thirsting, but have I any right to come to Christ? That's sin. That's unbelief. That's you contradicting the Son of God. Do you thirst? He says, come to me. Indeed, as it's put in the Greek New Testament, the if is very interesting here. You know, even in English, a little word like if, we just don't think of it. We use it quite naturally. But it can have various significations. The classical language, classical Greek language, is certainly very capable of giving every nuance of meaning to the word if. As it's presented here, it means this. If you thirst, it will be proved by the fact that you come to Christ. If you thirst, how do we know you really thirst? You'll come to Christ. Let's bring this into the natural realm for a moment. You get a man in the desert. He's dying of thirst. His tongue is swelling in his mouth. He is hardly able to make it through another hour, never mind another day. And suddenly, there is an oasis. Now tell me, in all honesty, does that man need a philosopher to tell him what it means to stoop and drink? Does that man need an education to tell him what it means to stoop and drink? No, no. That's the simplest thing in the world. Now, says Jesus, if you thirst, come to me. But don't talk about wanting to be saved if you're not willing to have Christ. Because you're only kidding yourself. Don't talk about thirsting if you're not willing to come to Christ. But if you thirst, come unto me and drink. For if you confess your need and your desire, then the Lord himself will meet it. Isn't that how the Bible ends? What is the great point to which all revelation leads us? Revelation 22, verse 17, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's what it's all coming to. If you're thirsty, there's water for you.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.